ശ്രീ രാധകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിത ശ്യാമ പന്ദ്രാരഹതി ഗിരി ഗൗരാംഗി ജയ ശ്രീ വൃന്ദാവനാം കി ജയ നവദത്താം കി ജയ ഗംഗമനതോ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിദേവി കി ജയ അനാനുഗോരി വൈഷ്ണവഗണി കി ജയ സമഭക്ത ഭക്തവൃന്ദ കി ജയ ഗോപ്രേമനന്ദി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രശരണ നൃത്തശേഷുമാരി പാശ്ചാത്യേഷരണെ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ഗൗരവാക്ഷവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ബാബു ക്യാനോ സെക്സ് ശ്രീ സുഗോവാച
ശ്രീ സുഗോവാച
ഉച്ചാർ മൃതോപാകാംക്ഷേ Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Ochattu, they spoke of Mritakam, dead body, Upante, near, Patitam, fallen, Mritaka Upama, Upama, exactly like another dead body, Sokapabhi Bhutam, very much agreed by lamentation. Rajana to the king, Bodhayanto, giving instruction, Sattva-tibhi, by instructions that are factual. Translation, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, well, King Chitraketu overcome by lamentation lay like a dead body at the side of the dead body of his son, the two great sages, Narada and Angira, instruct him about spiritual consciousness as follows. O king, what relationship does the dead body for which you lament have with you? And what relationship do you have with him? You may say that you are now related as father and son, but do you think this relationship existed before? Does it truly exist now? Will it continue in the future? Purport, the instruction given by Narada and Angira Muni are the true spiritual instructions for the illusion-conditioned soul. This world is temporary. Because of our previous karma, we come here and accept bodies, creating temporary relationships in terms of society, friendship, love, nationality, and community, which are all finished at death. These temporary relationships did not exist in the past, nor will they exist in the future. Therefore, at the present moment, the so-called relationships are illusions. Text 3, O King, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and sometimes separated due to the force of the waves, the living entities who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. Purport of misunderstanding, conditioned soul is the bodily conception of life. The body is material, but within the body is the soul. This is spiritual understanding. Unfortunately, one who is in ignorance under the spell of material illusion accepts the body to be the self. He cannot understand that the body is matter. Like small particles of sand, bodies come together and are separated by the force of time and the falsity of men. Four, unification and separation. Unless one knows this, there is no question of happiness. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, this is the first instruction given by the Lord. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered with such a change. We are not the body. We are spiritual beings trapped in the body. Our real interest lies in understanding this simple fact. Then we can make further spiritual progress. Otherwise, if we remain in the bodily conception of life, our miserable material existence will continue forever. Political adjustment, social welfare work, medical assistance, and other programs we are manufactured for peace and happiness will never endure. We shall have to undergo the sufferings of material life one after another. Therefore, material life is said to be Dukkhalaya Vasasvatam, a reservoir of miserable conditions. So, the incident of the death of the son was described along with the lamentation. Here, we get the instructions. Do King Chitrakeetu find Narada Muni and Angira? So the previous chapter asked, how is it possible that this Ritrasura was actually a devotee? So this verse is explaining his previous body as Chitrakeetu. Now the jiva is the same in the body of Chitrakeetu and Ritrasura, but the body is different. So in the previous body, that jiva got instructions in the form of the Narada Muni and Angira speaking to him. So this is what is being discussed here. This is one of the reasons why Chitrakeetu was so devotional, even though he was in an asura body. And of course, there were other reasons as well. But this is the first thing that happened to him. So originally, he was very materially attached. He wanted a son, and he was morose. Then he got a son by the blessing of Angira. Then he lost the son. Then he had to lament. And in that lamentation, then Narada and Angira begin to give him good instructions. So as is said, sometimes the position of lamentation is a good time to get instructions. If one is happy, one doesn't care about spiritual life or anything, but if one is in lamentation, then one is susceptible to getting good instructions. So this is a good opportunity here for Chitrakeetu to receive instruction. Similarly, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was lamenting, and at that time then Krishna spoke to him. So the position of lamentation is often a good starting point from which one can begin spiritual life. Because we're miserable in the material world, we want a solution. So it is possible that we'll take spiritual instruction. The other possibility, of course, in lamentation is the opposite. As we see, the wife of King Chitrakeetu, when the son died, then she began blaming the Supreme Lord. Why does he do this to us? Why does he make us lament? He's imperfect. He was really intelligent, then he wouldn't have the son die so early. So he must not be very intelligent. That's her conclusion. So that is one type of attitude to take, to resent God or disbelieve in God if we fall in trouble. The other is to accept the Lord and to get good instructions at that time. So this is what happens here with King Chitrakeetu. He received the instructions very obediently. And then he got great advantage from that. So this points out several things. One is that it is due to the association of devotees that a person begins a spiritual life. If he hadn't come along, if Narada and Angir did not come, then Chitraketu would lament for the rest of his life. That's it, finished. No spiritual advancement. But because of Narada and Angira, that he began his spiritual life. So this illustrates how the association of devotees inspires a person to think and then accept the conclusions of scripture and then begin the practice of bhakti. So this is, in other words, this is how Chitraketu became so devotional, because of the association of Narada and Angira. So through that association, he got good instructions and then he was able to understand and follow. So this is illustrated here, but if we look at other places in Bhagavad, we'll find the same thing happening. So in the previous canto, we have the association of Jagabara with King Rahugana. Rahugana also committed offense, actually, against Jagabara. And he was also materially attached, riding in his palanquin. But then Jagabara spoke to him, and because of that, then he completely altered his ideas. So that's the great mercy of Jagabara, in spite of Aparadi, because King Rahugana criticized him and insulted him. Still, Jagabara was very merciful to him, though he did not, had not spoken to anybody yet in his life. He decided to be merciful to the king. So that's another example of great advancement caused by association with a devotee. Of course, then originally, if we go back to the first canto, then we see Narada Muni. How did he advance? How did he get to the position of actually having darshan of the Supreme Lord? And then he tells the story of how for 4 months he was associated with the devotees when they were talking about the Supreme Lord. And then he took prasadam, then he developed attraction. Then, with their permission, he listened, and then he developed attraction. So due to the association of those devotees, who were not even named, he began his spiritual progress. So in this way, we have countless stories of how people progress through the mercy of devotees. And otherwise, if they don't get that association, nothing happens. So, therefore, here also we find this example of the association of devotees. So this is a direct cause of devotional service. Later on we'll see that King Chitraketu also meets Shankarsha. The Lord himself appeared and spoke to him. So definitely the mercy of the Lord is involved, but the principle is the mercy of the Lord acts through the devotees. So we can never expect, well, I'll wait for the Lord's mercy. It won't come. The mercy will come through devotees. So here we see that Narada and Angira are merciful to Chitraketu. So the Lord is merciful, but he is very attracted to his devotees. And therefore, he empowers the devotees to act on his behalf. In other words, he uses the devotees to spread his mercy rather than doing it directly. Why would he do this? It is because the Lord is attracted to his devotees. So he likes to give to the devotees. So therefore the devotees take up the task of serving the Lord in this way by distributing knowledge, bhakti. So therefore the devotees are instrumental in this process. If they, a person in the material world doesn't meet another person who can give good instruction, generally they will not change their ways. They will continue to do what they've been doing all their life. But then one gets good instructions as a in this case. Then suddenly there's a change in the person. So this is the one of the keys to spiritual advancement. So here the instructions begin. So instead of instructing on how to get a good child, which was the blessing that Angira previously gave, he did get a child because that's what the king asked for. Now they're not listening to any requests from the king, they're actually giving spiritual instructions. So, as in the case of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, then we find a very similar instruction. It's also a good instruction given by Vritrasura to Indra about the body. Don't be attached to the material bodies. The material bodies are nothing. So, the instruction begins with the idea that we have to accept the fact that if we want to give up lamentation, we have to detach ourselves from the material body. Now, this is not an ultimate instruction. Lamentation is not, giving up lamentation is not the final goal. But this is, lamentation is a type of pain, and nobody likes pain. So therefore, there has to be some relief from the pain. So this is a one step in getting relief from that pain, understanding one is not the body. This is jnana. This is the sadhana of the jnanis, to understand you're not the material body. We're completely separate from that. We are atma. So Krishna begins to speak to Arjuna in the same way by giving jnana, or calls it sankhya in the Bhagavad Gita. But we notice that then Krishna goes back and then he talks about karma yoga. He switches backwards and goes to karma yoga and says, okay, you're not qualified for jnana. Do karma yoga and act according to your duty. And then when you're fixed, then you're ready for jnana. So often the instructions will begin like this with jnana and then revert to some other process. So we should not take this as the final solution to the problem, but as a first step because of the situation of lamentation here. So therefore, Narada instructs like this, okay, understand you're not the material body, and the bodies are all temporary, and our lamentations are because of separation, but meeting and separation are both very haphazard things. They happen, the meeting happens, and then the separation happens due to karma, and we have no control over that, so we should not be attached to the material body. So this is, of course, a very important instruction for the people who are completely ignorant. But it's also not a very complete instruction because it simply tells you you're not your body, that's all. So more important than that is the instruction that we are the servant of Krishna. That is the second type of knowledge that we get. So we call this jnana, that is getting knowledge of atma, we're not the body. Then the more advanced knowledge is called vijnana, vishesha jnana, specialized knowledge. That means that we understand we are atma separate from the body, but the atma is the servant of the Supreme Lord. And upon that basis, we establish bhakti. So in other words, we accept not only that I am separate from the body, but we also understand that there is Supreme Lord. He's also separate from bodies, but he is controller of the jiva. But it's only with that information that we get complete knowledge. If we don't get that far, our knowledge is incomplete. So one who is true instructor, then they should give both knowledge. It's not just I'm not the body, but rather we're also the servant of the Supreme Lord. And of course Narada Muni is the Shaktivesh Avatar Bhakti, so he will never not give that knowledge. You will always conclude with the knowledge of bhakti. So we see also Krishna, he tells us about atma, you're not the body, etc. But then finally, in chapter 7 and 8 and 9, then he very clearly defines that the jiva is under the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord is the one who is the object of service. So that, when we get that knowledge, that is complete knowledge. So therefore, in chapter 9, Krishna calls that Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. This is the best secret. So the first knowledge, that we're not the body, etc., that is also knowledge. It's not rejected. And it's very essential that we have that knowledge. We shouldn't think we're a material body. Because, as I mentioned previously, the qualification for bhakti is not to attach to the material body. So the way we become detached from the material body is understanding we're not the body. Here we are. So that is important also for bhakti. But, as I said, the other principle is we have to admit the existence of the Supreme Lord. So that's not in itself complete knowledge. But it is one step in knowledge. So when we do accept the existence of the Supreme Lord, then there's two ways we can do that. That is, we can accept the Supreme Lord as the controller of everything, or the creator of everything. That is paramatma realization. Or we can accept the Supreme Lord with his form, qualities, and activities, and we can engage in serving him. This leads to Bhagavan realization. So though both are aspects of the Supreme Lord in his personal form, the realization of Bhagavan is considered superior. So, therefore, not only we have to understand the difference between Jiva and Supreme Lord, but we also have to understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is of service. When we do that, then we get Bhagavan realization. If we don't get to the service point, then we get Paramatma realization. And if we don't get to the differentiation between Jiva and Supreme Lord, then we're up in Brahman realization. So it is not enough just to think we're not the material body, and then we can get up to Brahman. Beyond that, then we have to differentiate Supreme Lord and Jiva, then we get Paramatma. Then, when we establish the relationship of service, then we get Bhagavan realization. So the relationship also is important, not just understanding God and Jiva. We also have to understand we should serve the Supreme Lord, establish a relationship with him. So therefore, all three facts are there. Understanding we're not the body, understanding the Supreme Lord, understanding of our relationship with the Lord. So, therefore, that will lead to complete knowledge. So that is represented, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita at the end where Krishna says, I taught you secret knowledge, guhyam. That is, not the body, whatever. I taught you more secret knowledge. That is, paramatma. And I teach the most secret knowledge, Kuyatamam. And then he says, Sarvadhamma Parijamam Sarvadhamma. So, Krishna will speak different portions of knowledge. But we should not stop at the first part, that is simply I'm not the body. We have to go until we get the complete knowledge, that is Kuyatamam, the most secret knowledge, that is the highest knowledge. So that is knowledge of service to the Supreme Lord. So we have to therefore read very carefully the instructions given by the great devotees like Narada or by the Supreme Lord himself and understand what is the conclusion, not just take part of the knowledge. So by his potent achintya potency, the Lord is all three aspects. He is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And technically, yes, we can worship any one of them. But if we want to understand the Lord completely, then that is the Bhagavan aspect. That is a complete realization of the Lord. And this becomes more satisfying to the Jiva, and it gives the Jiva more bliss. So this is the instructions that great devotees like Narada Muni give. So it is not difficult, it is actually quite simple. Unfortunately, the jivas in the material world cannot figure out anything. they're very confused. But therefore, it requires the devotees to give them proper instructions on these basic facts.
You might find that the process given is the same. Those instructions are given by different devotees. But the end result of the realization by each one is something different.
Realization different? General instructions are the same, the more particular instructions are also there according to the particular liking of that particular devotee, and also according to the instructions given by the particular person like Narada Muni, etc. So accordingly the realization will also be a little different. So some realize Vishnu or whatever, others realize Krishna. That is according to the particular qualification of that devotee, the certain preferences of that devotee, and also due to the mercy of that particular person who gives them knowledge. It's not mentioned, we can say it's both, I suppose. It's also a special mercy of Angira to give him instructions like that. But we can't say that Angira purposely killed the child or anything like that. So we also understand he has some karma. So obviously he did have karma because for so many years he couldn't have a child. He had about a million wives or something and couldn't have a child. So it's obviously bad karma. Yeah, well, that's also another meaning. We have one level of knowledge where we take it on an intellectual level, another we take it on a realized level. So that's another meaning of vijnana. Thank you.